Senator Humphreys, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me today. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you today, Todd.
I'm curious, how are you finding Frankfurt so far? Has it been a big adjustment?
Well, I had spent quite a bit of time here, as all judge executives do, so I kind of knew a little bit about the lay of the land, I guess you'd say, but obviously there's been a lot going on this week with the swearing in and all the ceremonial things. Great experience for me to have that opportunity and to share it with my family who was up on Tuesday. And so it's been fast-paced and a lot going on, and we're just here for this week, and then we'll be back in February. But there was just a lot of things being crammed in this week. And
do you know what committees you'll be serving on?
I do. I will be chairman of the Capital Planning Advisory Board and the Budget Review Subcommittee on Education. I'll also be the vice chair of both the Education Committee and the State and Local Government, as well as serving as a member on the A&R and Agriculture. So a lot of work to be done at each of those.
Well, of all the issues you and your colleagues are going to be considering this session, perhaps the biggest and the toughest one to deal with is pension reform. Kentucky Retirement Systems, for example, only has 44% of the funds it needs to meet its future obligations. So as you're acclimatizing to the halls of the state capitol, are you hearing any solutions suggested to that problem that pique your interest? And what do you yourself see as the way out of this situation?
You're exactly right. That's probably the first and foremost the biggest obstacle that we're facing this session. It's one of those things where probably the can has been kicked about as far as it could be kicked without really delving into it and making some corrections and some changes. And I was interested to hear President Stiver speak this week about the potential about trying to get something done, lay out the guidelines, and come into it next year in the budget session and actually find those cuts to be able to implement the process. But first you have to put a plan in place, and so I think that's where we probably are at this point. Those are some things that are probably going to be discussed and looked at. I think both the House and the Senate understand that, you know, we're at a crossroads here, and you have to make some real tough decisions sometimes on that. And my pledge has been all along that I would support those that have been in retirement system, currently working, not to have changes made to their current system that would adversely affect them and their retirement.
Turning to the revenue issue, last month, as you know, Governor Beshear heard changes to the state tax code that were recommended by the task force he appointed, some of which were raising the cigarette tax, expanding the state sales tax to additional services, capping individual itemized deductions. Have you seen anything in those recommendations that gives you pause, or have you seen things that you can get behind there?
Well, I think there was 60-some-odd recommendations, and from the Senate side, I haven't seen sentiment in the Senate on raising taxes. So we want a tax policy that grows jobs and expands our economy. But this is a revenue measure, and this type of bill would need to come out of the House. So, but I intend to be very vocal about this issue this year as your senator, and that not adversely affecting opportunities or putting undue burden on people who are already stressed and trying to make mortgage payments and put food on the table. So that's where I am at this point in time with that.
Are the universities and colleges throughout the Commonwealth, are they looking at another round of cuts any time in the near future?
Well, you know, it's the last 5 or 6 years, universities have kind of mirrored what has gone on with our personal lives as well. We've seen cuts, and we've seen where we've had to, you know, make do with what we had and didn't have great opportunities to expand what we were wanting to do or those things that need to get done anyway. So I hope that that's not a possibility. I mean, I will make every effort to try to keep that from happening. We don't see those rounds of cuts because we know that is adversely affecting us for years to come when you start setting a precedence where you don't want to increase opportunities for young people to go to school, attend school. You know, I think you're making a statement and you're making a long-term negative investment in your community when you do that.
Republican Senate President Robert Stivers has come out saying that he backs letting Washington handle the Commonwealth's health insurance exchange as opposed to setting up a state agency. That's what Democratic House Speaker Greg Stumbo supports. I wonder, where do you fall in that range?
We currently have 800,000 folks on Medicaid in Kentucky, and as we start accepting new enrollees into Medicaid, the managed care through the Affordable Health Care Act, that number goes to 1.2, 1.3 over time. So we have the mandate, but the cost of running these exchanges and the personnel and the people are going to keep these in place for years to come. You know, that money, from what I've seen, has not been given from the federal government for an extended period of time. So how do you run these exchanges is going to be addressed. You know, I would certainly probably weigh with Senator Stivers on this. There's talk of having several states going together with these exchanges. So it is going to be a cost problem for the state, and I don't see any way around the fact that you're going to have cuts in some areas because of this mandate.
Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner James Comer, who is a Republican, is a prominent and vocal supporter of industrial hemp, as is U.S. Senator Rand Paul. Do you see a future for industrial hemp in Kentucky? And what's your sense of the support it has, or doesn't have, for that matter, in Frankfort?
It's my understanding, Todd, even if we pass, or to be able to pass something like that, and that's probably several discussions before that something like that could get done. There's been a lot of education and work, and we want to go through a rigorous process of review and studying on this. But anything that you can do to hopefully increase revenue and increase opportunities in the Commonwealth, not only the First District, but throughout the rest of the state as well, that's going to provide opportunity and economic impact. You really have to sit down and look at it as a means to solving some of our problems. So I realize that's still a ways off, but I do see that there could be potentially some economic impact on it. So we would certainly want to try to at least hear the whole process out and make an educated decision on the viability of industrial hemp in the Commonwealth. It's been an interesting week, and sometimes you feel like you're kind of drinking out of a fire hose up here. You're getting a lot at one time, so I'm trying to soak it all in, and as you know, Todd, I try to weigh all the options and make a land on a good decision before I move forward. So I don't. I know there's a lot of things that are going to face our General Assembly this time, and we have, like I said earlier, we have a lot of pressing issues, things that you just can't put off. So we're going to be working on those, and obviously, as you mentioned earlier with Medicaid, one of my biggest concerns locally, I know the folks at Murray Calvey County Hospital and our health departments and other, my hospital in Katy's and the other hospitals throughout the area, Mayfield and so forth, are really struggling with these MCOs that are not reimbursing from Medicaid. So we're having meetings and trying to work out the details of why our these MCOs, managed care, are not reimbursing. But I know that that's a big issue in our communities, and I'll certainly try to work on getting to the bottom of why aren't we, our communities being reimbursed when they should and have already been paid initially the money to manage these accounts. So that's one of our most critical and urgent passions right now, is trying to get to the bottom of that.
Out of curiosity, where have they put you in terms of your office?
Well, they have given me a pretty nice office, believe it or not, Todd. I guess they weren't sure about where to put me at, so they put me right smack in the middle on the outside wing, and I'm facing the parking lot. Everybody knows kind of where you've come to Frankfort. We're in the annex. My office on the second floor, suite 209, and I love to take visitors and have groups up here. And so if they'd like to come, just have them call my office, and one of the secretaries can set something up. So we'd love to see you up here and hear your concerns. That's what we're here for. And it's always good to hear from the folks back home as to what's taking place and what's going on.
So you have a beautiful view of the parking lot.
Well, it could be worse, Todd. It could be worse. No, it's there's a lot of great folks here, and this was actually Dr. Winters' office when he first got to Frankfort 8 years ago.
So a nice continuity there.
It is.
Well, State Senator Stan Humphries represents Kentucky's 1st Senate District that comprises Callaway, Carlisle, Fulton, Graves, Hickman, Lyon, and his own Trigg County. Senator Humphries, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Todd, for having me.